You worked hard to lay the foundation for your contracting business. And when you're with Amex Business Platinum, you can keep building it up with a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. And since you earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, you get even more from on-site overseeing. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
I have bought a house that week for $10.
For ten?
$10, yeah. $10, no cap, man. I can see
like $10, like.
Like a $10 bill. That's how this company started.
You don't believe anyone should have a personal mortgage or rely on debt.
These oligarchs control the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
So if the oligarchy is saying, yo, you need a mortgage to buy a house, and 90% or 80% of the people are buying that,
yeah,
and that's what they do, who's benefiting?
Hey, wait. I know you want to watch this next video, but listen, if you are an entrepreneur, business coach, business consultant, or a small business owner who has a story and wants to learn how to create multiple streams of income from your story, I need you to text me right now, my book, to 646-687-4152. That is my personal number. I have been an author for over 12 years. I've written 10 books. 4 of them have been bestsellers, and I've sold over 100,000 books, but I've also helped a lot of my clients take their expertise and put it into a story, then create multiple streams of income from that. So I want to help you do the same thing. So text my book to 646-687-4152. All right, let's go back to the video.
Welcome to another awesome episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. I'm excited for our next guest. We have Dr. David M. Anderson Sr. in the building, a seasoned entrepreneur whose career spans from 1994 to the present, deeply rooted in international networking and strategic business development. He started his journey at Morris Brown College, moving through pivotal roles at radio, at stations like Radio 1 in Atlanta, Sirius XM, where he introduced the Blackonomics show. Dr. Anderson's entrepreneurial spirit led him to finance and real estate sector, establishing the Empowerment Radio Network and investing in significant real estate ventures, including properties in Opportunity Zones. His accolades include an Entrepreneur of the Year Award and an honorary doctorate degree. Currently, he is developing commercial properties across Georgia and is seeking partners for a new hotel project in Augusta. Ladies and gentlemen, round of applause for my brother, for the radio legend.
Man.
Dr. David Anderson, you're going to sick, man.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
So I'm so excited about this interview, right?
Yeah, me too.
So we were introduced by our brother Latron, and immediately, he was talking to me. He was like, you know, Dr. David Anderson. I was like, yeah. You know, and so when I saw you, it was an honor because I was introduced to you through a documentary that you did with our brother, Lamar Tyler,
And I was always intrigued because I think for me, I've always, even as a kid, I always wanted to do radio. Like I always wanted to host shows and things of that nature. Always had a great personality. Was always like funny and things of that nature. And so I remember watching that documentary, and it was the first time I saw a brother as an owner of a whole network. And so when I saw that, I said, "Yo, he's the owner of this network." And so from there is when I was introduced to you. When I met you, it was like intriguing and to like learn more about your story. I was like, "All right, this is gonna be dope." So when I had the opportunity, I'm like, "Yeah, let's go." I need to have you on the show. So
no, I appreciate it, man. No, Lamar, fast shout out to Lamar Tyler. Lamar, I think that was like 2012 when I had met Lamar because I was just getting the network started. And I had a contract with Sirius XM to deliver, a program for financial empowerment, which was Blackonomics.
Yeah.
And so instead of doing it out of Radio 1 or doing it at Clear Channel, or now, it's now iHeart Media, I decided, I said, hey, I'm going to build my own studio and I'm going to deliver my own audio feed to 1500 Eckington Place, which is where the head end is. So that's like a really big thing.
Yeah.
And so I did that. I put the studio together, and I think Lamar parachuted into town. He was like, "I'm shooting this movie," blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting with him because I had I have interest in film as well. I have a film company, and we'll talk about that later on. And so I was kind of like, "Wow, who do you have in your film?" And so he had a few people, but everything had fallen apart. It had fell through, and he was like, he was ready to shoot. And he got cameramen, he got people, he's paying the bill. So I made some phone calls, I called Patrice. Me and Patrice work well together with Operation Hope, with John Hope Bryant. Yeah. And so we all kind of worked together with him. So I called Patrice. I was like, "Yo, Patrice, this cat is in town, he's shooting. Are you available?" He was like, "Yeah, cool." Called Boyce Watkins.
Salute to Boyce.
Boyce, where you at? I need you to do this. Boom. There's a few other people that we call. They may happen to be in the film. So, it was kind of like an executive producer credit, if you will.
Nice.
But it was in the spirit of, this cat is doing some Blackonomics type stuff.
Yeah.
And how can we support it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right down to the, because the name of the film was Generation One, and I was like, "You need a subtitle. You can't just put nothing this powerful out." And he was like, "Yo, what's a subtitle?" I was like, "Well, the subtitle kind of gives you the essence of what this film is about. It can't just be Generation One. Generation One of what? It's the search for Black wealth." And then he said that, it was like, you could hear it in the room. It was like, yeah. You could hear the effects of the media going off, right? It was like, So it became the subtitle of the film.
Nice.
But I got to say this before we continue.
Yes.
Lamar and his wife kind of inspired me majorly, because I had my hands in the Empowerment Radio Network at the time, which was Roland Martin in the Morning, Warren Ballantyne. A lot of people don't know Rashad Ritchie got his start on the Empowerment Radio.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? So he's doing big things now with the TBT Network.
But that,
his teeth got cut on the Empowerment Radio Network.
Wow.
And then, Bev Smith at night. And then we had Professor Griff, who's one of my neighbors. He did the Serious Minds radio late night. So we had this incredible onslaught of talent, that came out the box. But I say all that to say, I had mentioned to Lamar Tyler and his wife that I was interested in doing some film stuff. And so they launched to 25 cities. And they was like, "Yo, we can't afford for you to fly you in and put you up to the 25 seats. I was like, "Yo, I already booked my flights. I'm good." Yeah. I'm not that type of cat that you gotta, I'll handle it myself. So I wound up speaking at all of their events.
Nice.
And then that led me to the Black Friday opportunity with, Rick Mathis and Brad Lewis were trying to put their film together. They had their film like halfway done. And or maybe like 40 to 50% done. And then I got involved with some other people in it. And that became, hot. On that financial empowerment circuit.
For sure.
We just did this, we're in the same Generation One play.
Mm-hmm.
So I put together the Blackwell films, and we shot some other films. Something just came out actually on Netflix. It just hit the Netflix platform on Oscarville. Mm. So if y'all on Netflix, just check that out. It's called Files of the Unknown, of the Unexplained.
Okay.
It's episode 5, Lake Lanier. And so my company, Blackwell Films, helped to organize that.
Wow.
But it's just like, you know, when you do the real estate thing and money's coming in, you got access. You're like, I want to do some other stuff that you got interest in.
Yeah.
And film is just one of those things.
Yeah. You know? And so take us back, right? So, you know, I know I read your bio, but, you know, in your words, who is David Anderson?
I'm a real estate professional. Yeah. I'm an IRA professional. Mm. And I'm now a life and health professional. I'm an insurance professional.
Okay.
Right? And so had you asked me that a couple of more years ago, I would have just been like, yo, I'm a serial entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I'm this, I'm that.
Yeah.
But what I'm understanding now is that I'm like a subject matter expert in these three specific areas.
Yeah.
And so it's one thing to just do real estate. You know, we were looking at our transactional history for the past 12 years since 2012. And, you know, we closed over like 700 to 800 transactions in that period, but they were just transactional. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, they were big transactions.
Yeah.
We did some crazy stuff, but that's it.
Yeah.
You got to look for another hit. You know what I mean? And I just don't want to spend the next 12 years of my life looking for the next hit.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I did that already.
Yeah.
So real estate is good. Yeah. It's excellent. It's the floor to the bones of wealth building. But we got to also know how to create retirement. You know what I mean? Yeah. We don't have retirement as entrepreneurs.
Absolutely.
It's not like I'm going to go to Fidelity Bank and be like, yo, I want participation on my 401k. Mm-hmm. I got to do that myself.
Right.
So as an IRA professional, there's a lot of options for entrepreneurs through self-direction. You understand? Mm-hmm. And so as an IRA professional, you know, I've never had to go to a bank and beg for a debt instrument, right? I've never used a debt instrument my entire career, right? I don't have no mortgages. I've never used one. Mm-hmm. I've never used SBA loans. I tried to apply for them. It didn't work out. So having knowledge of being an IRA professional, I've been able to tap into that space to raise crazy amounts of capital. Mm. And we'll talk about that.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk about that, because one of the things that was intriguing to me is that you don't believe that anyone should have a personal mortgage or rely on debt, especially in today's economy.
Yeah, so with the advent of the internet and podcasts and platform shows like yours, everybody's an expert now, right? Everybody's got an opinion.
Yeah.
In my space, when we would jump on these sets and start throwing down, you know, you had to show your tax return.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the school that gave me the honorary doctorate, part of that was to give my returns for the past 10 years, right? So it couldn't just be like, oh, I made $100,000 and now I'm an expert.
Right.
To be an expert meant that you had 10,000 hours or 10 years in one specific subject
matter. Yeah.
So you had to prove that as well to speak on that. You know, with YouTube, everybody's an expert.
Right, facts. Yeah.
So I say all of that to say what I learned in my career for me was that not having a mortgage is how Blackonomics started, right? Because I bought the studio that Blackonomics recorded out of at a tax sale. As a matter of fact, it was the first tax sale I ever won, September 4, 2007, right? And that property that we bought, we put a studio in it. And then we delivered that information from the hood on Campbellton and D'Lo to 1500 Atkinson Place.
Right.
And that's how the whole network got started.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I say all that to say, if I didn't, at that particular time in my life, like if I wasn't able, if I didn't have that space, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would not have been able to build the network.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to, at that time I was dealing with divorce and, you know, the custody battle and all that stuff. And in court, they were like, the other side tried to suggest that I was unstable. I didn't have no place for my kid. And my response was, here's my deed, Exhibit A. That's the deed to the property.
Yeah.
Judge saw that and was like, well, how many bedrooms is this? I was like, yo, it was 2 bedrooms. One for the child, one for myself, you know? And it's within a 6-mile radius of the school. It wasn't nothing else to discuss after that. Well, how they felt or what was going on didn't matter. The fact that I had adequate housing for the child
with electric and a refrigerator and house and a bed meant that I could now exercise my father's rights. So for me, having access to land was more serious than just being some real estate professional, you know, out here on the courthouse steps, you know, going crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then on another note, and you and I, you know, we both have respect for, you know, for God, right? And it shows in what we do, because this is, you said earlier, this is your ministry. And I believe that as well. This is a ministry, and this is a ministry that God has called us both to do.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So when we get into the book, whether we Christian, Hebrew, or Islam, whatever, it all says the same thing, man. It's a commandment. It ain't, yo, I think I need to own land. The Creator commands us to possess the land and to further subdue it, right? So to me, I'm reading that as instructions for the black man. You know what I mean? It, yo, son, the black man is God. Well, if the black man is God, then we got to own our space that we raise our families in. Mm-hmm. We can't be, oh, let me borrow this from you for 6 months to a year so I can build my family. That don't make no sense to me.
Yeah.
And so to me, you know, the tax liens for black men is a path to establishing themselves. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this whole thing, this whole game is about being established.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, I could go on and on about it, but it's, to me, when people, if people are out here talking crazy on the internet and they don't have the basics together.
Right.
Right? Just the basics.
Right.
Like, you know, my primary, my secondary, my tertiary, and my pharma pay for it.
Mm.
Right? So,
And so how do you do that though, right? So like
tax liens.
Okay. Because I want to say like when you know somebody doesn't have access to funds, right? Doing FHA loans and mortgages is the way to get the property in advance. But you say tax liens, explain that. Like how, like
yeah, so with real estate tax liens, when you don't pay your HOA fees,
mm-hmm.
okay, because it's not just like people say tax liens, they say, oh yeah, I know all about that, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't pay the taxes in that particular county, then they're gonna come take it, which is true.
Yeah.
Right? But there's 30 other ways to foreclose in the great state of Georgia. It's not just, oh, I didn't pay the mortgage.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't pay child support, right, mm-hmm. they're gonna come and put a lien on your property.
Wow.
And foreclose.
Okay.
Right?
If you don't pay child support,
yeah,
they could foreclose on your property here in Georgia.
Definitely. It's a debt. And then, and when they get the debt, they go before the judge. They get what? A judgment. And if you're of the notion that you should put all your assets in your personal name, mm. something that we should discuss on this platform because it's ridiculous to me, then they're going to go to LexisNexis. They're going to do an asset search, and your name's going to pop up with this asset that's attached to it. And they're going to say, guess what? I got this judgment for this 80 grand or this 50 grand in back child support. We're going to put it on this condo that's sitting here that don't got a mortgage on it. And we're going to bring that to the courthouse steps, foreclose on it, to make our client whole.
Wow.
That's what the process is.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, people don't understand that. People don't know that. You know what I mean? People don't, if you don't pay your HOA, we all in these covenant communities.
Right.
You know what I mean? People don't pay the HOA or you get into a riff mm-hmm. with the HOA and they want to assess fines on you for whatever reason. People are losing their houses.
Yeah.
They're losing their houses because they want to change the color of their roof to a light green or emerald tint. That's not the same vendor that the covenant community suggests. That's a problem.
Wow.
You know? Yeah. So you got to be aware of these riders that follow the land. And so, you know, if we're not, again, it boils back down to being in position where we control the land. We don't have no control over the land.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And in this country, they Special Order Act number 15, Tecumseh Sherman was an act of Congress, which told people that they would have land from South Carolina, Georgia to Florida. It was 400,000 acres along the eastern seaboard that was earmarked for black men who died and fought in the war.
Wow.
That's what that was about. That whole 40 acres and a mule comes from this 400,000 acres that's earmarked, which is now the Fuske Islands. If you boat, right, that's where you want to go drop your basket to get the crabs, the Fuske Islands. Hilton Head, Sapelo, the great Golden Isles of Georgia, they call them, Sapelo Island, Catherine, St. Catherine's Island, the Tybee Island, all of these spots, the most richest counties in Georgia, right, is now controlled by white folks. because of the special order number 15. They reneged on it, right? And then they put a bullet in Lincoln's head, and all five presidents that came after that gutted out every possible mechanism for black people to advantage themselves. The Freedmen's Bank, the land that we were supposed to get.
Yep.
So when we deal with it from that perspective, right, when we deal with it like, yo, these people gave us a promise they never made good on it, right, then everybody, all, everybody on the internet talking crazy, all entrepreneurs, anybody that's of upward mobility should be dealing with the first order of business, which is my right to my land, which is inherent,
yeah,
right, that I never got,
yeah,
that God commands me and mandates me,
right,
to possess.
Right.
That's the first order of business.
Right.
Right. Before we could be, you know, Bitcoin superheroes, cryptocurrency masters, right? Before we could be credit experts, right? We got to do what God told us to do. And the reason why, and I'm going to say this on your platform, the reason why black folks, black people, people of color, melanated people around the diaspora are in the condition that they're in is because we're not doing what God told us to do by way of this land.
Wow. That's deep.
That's what it is, yo.
Yeah.
Because if we don't have no connection to the earth, to the planet,
yeah,
all good things come out the ground. All this gold we putting in our mouth, Negroes don't even know where gold come from, dog. In order for gold to get to the planet, a star has to explode. It's called a supernova. The star has to pull, and the pieces of that star travel light millions of light years and just happen to crash land on Earth, which is why you gotta go and dig for gold. Gold ain't on the periodic table. That's an element that's not from the planet. It's extraterrestrial.
Right.
Right? Right. It's from some other galaxy.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens for it to get here. So if all the great things that we need to operate, our phones are in the ground, gold, August gold, silver. Silver's crazy right now. $35 in the next 5 years, it's gonna be way over $200-$300. Anybody can afford silver.
Right.
That comes out the what? The ground.
Ground, yeah.
Diamonds, people cutting their hands off, it come out the ground.
Right.
All this stuff, water, come out the ground.
Yeah.
Food, come out the ground.
Yeah.
So all the things we need to survive come out the ground.
Yeah.
And Negroes don't own it?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's funny. It's funny that you say that because I have a property that my wife and I were in the process of selling, and we were like doing the math around, like, you know, we bought the house, we had, you know, we had a mortgage on it, mm-hmm. We did some renovations on it, we held it for some years, and you know, we were like, oh yeah, you know, this house, you know, we got X amount of money from it, but then we looked at the mortgage and calculated how much money we've paid in the mortgage for so much time. I said, where did all this money go though? And realized that it was almost like paying rent, if you will, right?
Yes. I was just gonna say, not to cut you off. The mortgage, when we get into the word mortgage, right? And I'm big on etymology.
Yeah.
Mortifit is Latin, means death. The second part of that word is engagement. So it's literally a death engagement. And the man plays us even more.
Yeah.
Because the contract that's signed is called amortization schedule.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
You've been in the banking business, you know,
sure,
this, right?
Sure.
So am is what? Am is the inverse of the death, right? So mort meaning death and tization. So it's the literally translation, the causation of a slow death.
Ooh. Yeah.
And we scheduling that out for 40 years.
Right.
So and so I'm not trying to scare your audience because it's like, oh yo, this cat told me I got a mortgage, I'm a clown. It's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is these oligarchs are creating a culture that they're making you think or believe that this is normal.
Right.
And this is not normal.
Right, right.
It's not normal to be enslaved to somebody else. And I believe you're Muslim, right?
Absolutely.
So in Islamic finance, you got your own code, yo.
Right.
In Islamic financing, you're not supposed to charge your brother interest.
Interest, yeah. Yeah.
Bank of America don't got no problems charging me interest. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of them banks is charging 49% interest. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So as black people, we got to get to the code of the street,
yeah,
the financial street,
yeah,
right? And that means to me not to be behind that A ball, yo. Jews, when they making their loans, they make their loans to each other
right.
without no interest.
Without no interest, yeah.
But they don't have no problems making them loans to us with bad terms, crazy interest rates, balloon payments, all in the name of Nem de Geld. Nem de Geld in Yiddish means take the money, right? So when they do their deals, they say Nem de Geld, right? Take the money. Because they believe that, well, we ain't even get into that. But they're doing this because God has told them that they supposed to be the lenders and not the borrowers. They believe that. They stand on that.
Yeah.
So all I'm getting to is that we got all of these philosophies out here that we're battling. And at critical times, when it's time for us as men to take care of these families, because we got to buy these big boy houses to put these kids in and take care of these women.
Yeah.
There's all I'm saying is my message is there's other ways to accomplish that.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Besides just going to Keller Williams and finding some agent to go say, oh, I like this house. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is that about? Like, why on the first purchase are we even bringing our women in to discuss what the house is? Like, what is that about? Like, the man shouldn't have, and this is sidebar commentary, but the man shouldn't, I don't believe the man should have that kind of pressure on the first go round. On the first house purchase?
Yeah.
He shouldn't have that kind of pressure that from getting what the input is from this side. That's a no-no, yo.
Yeah, yeah.
But because we not as men having these conversations
yeah.
in the barbershop, you know what I'm saying, about what we need to do, they're making their, you know, requests be known.
Right.
And now we gotta backtrack where we should have had that already in place.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So now it's like, okay, if we're gonna get married or we're gonna, you know, walk these dogs. Then now I can at least, I got something to bring to the table. I can put this up
right.
on the market and get $200-$300 from it.
Right.
And then we can go and buy something with no mortgage.
Right.
And we can take all the inputs you want.
Right.
Woo.
Yeah.
But when I'm trying to get my situation and my foot planted, I shouldn't have to be told, yo, you're going to use this mortgage to go buy this particular house because this is where I want to be. And this is the first time at bat.
Yeah.
That's a negative, yo.
Yeah. Yeah. And so your belief system is, all right, use tax liens to buy property.
For black people that have been disadvantaged in this in America,
yeah,
and it's our first time at bat,
yeah,
we got to get to the equity.
Yes.
And we got to get site control.
Mm.
We don't need to get on the cryptocurrency thing just right yet. It's not time for that yet. See, everything is planned for and it's time. So, yes, I'm of the notion that black men, more specifically, I'm not excluding black women, but I'm saying brothers who don't own nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to go to the tax sale and buy something.
Yeah.
That's exactly what my message is.
Yeah. And what would you say, though, right? Because timing is everything. When you think about the gold rush, there was a specific time for gold rush, the dot-com boom. When we're looking at cryptocurrency right now, it looks like, yo, now might be the time. Specifically, you know, with Trump in office and Trump is signaling to Wall Street that I'm a crypto-friendly president. And we're watching, you know, stocks go up, crypto go up. Like, to me, this looks like the time that we should go in. What do you say to that?
So that's a great question. So when we're in space, right, we got to have an anchor.
Right, we in the entrepreneurial space right now. We're about to blast off, right?
So I use anchors. I use indicators, right? And Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger are... rest in peace, are one of the greatest,
yeah.
what they call big picture thinkers. And the gentleman wrote a book called Big Picture Thinking, Peter Navarro. It's a great book for your audience to go and check out. It's called Big Picture Thinking, where they talk about what you're discussing. You know, what does the future look like and how can I get in front of that? And he wrote another book called If It's Raining in Brazil, Buy Starbucks. Another great read. With these guys' philosophies in place, Berkshire Hathaway, which just liquidated a major portion of their accounts with Bank of America to the point where Bank of America almost didn't have no cash in the bank for people to go get, right? He went into a serious cash position, right? He didn't take none of that $300 billion in cash that he's sitting on right now and go buy any crypto,
yeah,
right? And furthermore, I don't want to get into the whole conversation, but there's a lot of information that would suggest that Satoshi Nakamoto was a white paper that was written by NSA.
Mm.
People that's in the trading world know this.
Yeah.
And people that really know me, they really know that I'm not really some real estate guru. They know that I'm really a trader that was really too scared to keep losing money, right? And so I just took
my understanding of Fibonacci sequence, in fact, pattern recognition, and going long on Japanese candlestick trading, and applied that to real estate. I'm a great real estate investor because I have an understanding, a strong understanding of how the market works.
Okay. Right?
So I'm not just talking right now that you're talking.
Right, right.
So if we know that Satoshi Nakamoto's white paper, there was a preceded white paper that was an NSA paper that came out about how we can track money. And we know that Putin started his career as a spy. Okay?
Yeah.
And was into NSA, CIA, FBI, all the alphabets. Okay? Why would we invest in that? When Donald Trump and Putin is like this, and Putin might be, I'm not saying this is what's happening,
yeah,
but might be using the blockchain and cryptocurrency as a way to cripple America.
Mm. Okay.
That ain't our fight.
Yeah.
That's not what God told us to do.
Yeah.
God was real clear. God said, buy land. I'm not saying don't participate on crypto. But when we do an analysis of what black men net worth look like, it should have a significant portfolio of land. I believe it should have a significant portfolio of tangible gold and a significant piece of silver that's tangible in the house.
Yeah.
And the third piece should be insurance. We're not properly insured.
Yeah.
Okay. So when we got $1 million in real estate that's free and clear, when we got $1 million in gold and silver that is in safekeeping somewhere that we can access, and we got three times the what our value is of our net worth, meaning $3 to $5 million in insurance, properly insured, and to be able to make our premiums, right?
Yeah.
Because now premium payments is the thing right now.
Right.
Look, if we had a conversation 10 years ago, I wouldn't have said nothing about no premiums. Like, I got to buy a business just to take care of premiums right now.
Right, right.
Here it was there because the premium payments are crazy. So this is the economic floor that we need to focus on.
Yeah.
Once we got the real estate down, we got some precious metals somewhere in safekeeping, we got adequate insurance, and we got businesses like storage businesses, they don't miss.
Right.
That come every month with cash flow to make these premiums, then we can have a high-level cryptocurrency conversation that says, okay, I can risk $500,000 on XRP,
right?
Because if they cut the lights off, cool.
Right.
But now we got cats on the internet talking crazy. Cats don't control the power source.
Right. Yeah.
So you putting $500,000 on the XRP and you don't control the power source, how are you going to get online to remove or place your coins on market?
Right.
You don't control the power source. So, Nico, stop with this, man. You don't have no power.
Yeah,
you don't control the power.
Yeah.
But you need land to create power.
Yeah.
You need land to control your own power source.
Yeah.
So we're having the wrong conversation. We're talking about pie-in-the-sky stuff that we not really have real information on.
Mm-hmm.
When we need to do the simple things first.
Yeah.
Build the floor.
Yeah.
Once we got the floors, then we can go and do this other stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm just not of the notion that we should be running into the crypto market right now. And I know some people have. I got close friends that's on crypto markets, you know what I'm saying? But everybody that I've seen that's on crypto market, they having problems right now.
Man.
They having cash flow problems. They having real problems right now.
Yeah.
But the people that I hang out, like Don Peoples ain't on the cryptocurrency market like that.
Right.
Don Peoples, for the audience that might not know, is a black man, owns the highest building in New York.
He's a billionaire.
Definitely is. Don Peoples of here.
Yeah.
Definitely. Affirmation Tower.
Mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
So that's a black man.
Yes.
Don Peoples ain't on the crypto market like that. You know, Michael Roberts. I was just with him the other day. This guy just sold his hotel in Detroit to Dan Gilbert. Dan Gilbert owned the Quicken Loans, Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yep.
You know, Mr. Roberts ain't on the crypto market like that. He wrote a book about investing in crypto because he's a futurist, but he don't got no $1 million on XRP.
Yeah.
And he just sold a hotel for $41 million.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So people that I'm dealing with, that I'm engaging with, Robert F. Smith is not on crypto.
Right.
This dude is built, Vista Equity Partners, last time I checked,
right,
was built on something called arbitrage. And the arbitrage that he uses is the ability to take a small tech company from a $5 million valuation to a $500 million valuation.
Yeah.
And he goes and sells that to sovereign wealth funds.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
He not talking about getting on crypto.
Yeah.
David Stern,
who've been putting rockets in the air for the past 4 years, mm-hmm. or 40 years, excuse me, mm-hmm. before Jeff Bezos. Mm-hmm. Mr. Stern ain't talking about no crypto.
Yeah.
He putting satellites, birds in the air.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily follow what everybody else is following right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm of the notion, remember, these oligarchs control the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
So if the oligarchy is saying, yo, you need a mortgage to buy a house, mm-hmm. and 90% or 80% of the people are buying that,
yeah.
and that's what they do, who's benefiting?
Right.
It's benefiting them.
Right.
Because they're creating enslaved culture.
Right.
Those people can't live their creative dream and have a podcast and see how far they can get with a mm-hmm. podcast. Mm-hmm. They got to go to work. They got to trade their time for money to go pay that mortgage.
Right.
And that's wrong,
that's,
man.
That's, yeah, yeah.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
So in order for us to be free, think free, and really have the ability to do free, I just think there's just some basics that got to get in place.
Yeah, yeah,
you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
That's just been my experience.
I love the perspective because I think that it's important that our audience gets a different perspective that's not cookie cutter, that's not the same, following the same program that we're being taught. Because again, even for me. I'm actually, which is the timing is great because I'm actually questioning that. Like, all right, why would I have a mortgage where, you know, if my equity goes up, that don't even really matter because I'm really just getting money back that I paid into this mortgage and I'm giving them this, you know, this interest. And so in my mind, what I'm thinking is, if I just take my money and I just rent, let's just say, and I'm investing in the markets, I could probably do better returns in the markets than I can in real estate paying a mortgage.
So Grant Cardone has this philosophy, right? That yes, you should rent where you live, mm-hmm. okay? And this is what you're discussing.
Yeah.
But that's Grant Cardone, right? I'm not Grant Cardone, you're not Grant Cardone.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, have you ever been in a situation where you needed a place to stay?
I mean, I've always had a place to stay.
I'm just saying, but prior to now, right? Prior to you getting to this point in your life, prior to that, 20 years ago, did you have a place that you could put a key in that you own outright free and clear?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's my point.
I grew up in a project. So 20 years ago.
Had a similar scenario.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From the Bronx.
Yeah.
From Brooklyn or something.
Harlem.
Same thing. All right. So.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So for black men,
yeah.
not Grant Cardone. Grant Cardone can run around the country and tell people what he thinks mm-hmm. because that was his path.
Right.
That wasn't my path.
Right.
How you gonna rent when you don't have to, like, if I go to the bank, they're gonna give Grant Cardone $10 million, mm-hmm. but if I'm asking for $40 million, to build a hotel that I have site control over mm-hmm. across the street from the Masters mm-hmm. in Augusta, who's gonna get the loan?
Right.
I got site control. Mm-hmm. I don't have, this is not a deal that I'm putting together to my audience mm-hmm. on. Like, I got site control. So because of racism and white supremacy as it relates to the economic space, he can talk like that, right?
Okay, yeah.
But for us, for black men,
yeah.
I'm of the notion, like, I've lived to get here.
Yeah.
I believe that we should have a spot that don't have a mortgage so that just in case the big hotel deal collapses, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. we're not on the street.
Right.
Just in case.
Right.
Not saying that it will.
Yeah.
But, you know, so, yeah. Should you rent? Yes, you should rent, mm-hmm. but you should also own.
Yeah.
At least one or two places.
Right.
You know, it's good for business.
Right.
In marriages, it's good. Like, how many people argue in their marriage?
Mm-hmm.
And then what if you had the opportunity to be like, yo, it gets heated. You don't want to hit your wife. You love your wife, right? Mm-hmm. But the situation, she might be pressing all the nuclear buttons on the button box.
She want to
go to war.
Right.
Who can just say, I'm leaving, I'm going downtown to my condo, I'm gonna deal with you tomorrow?
Mm.
That saves lives, yo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And people have different, you know, conversations about this. What if you got family coming in town for the new year
mm-hmm.
or for the holidays and you don't want them in your house per se? You got girls.
Right.
You got 3-4 girls running around.
Right.
They could stay downtown.
Right.
We'll hang out with them, they could come to the house, but at night, they staying downtown.
Right.
Right? This is a different way that we gotta start moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just think that, you know, from my experience, and I'm not saying my experience is everyone else's experience, but just from my experience, I would rather move in that way.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's easier.
Yeah. And so you prioritize real estate cash flow. Like, that's like your main, like, why is that part of your strategy?
So I have for the past 12 years been in a transaction, in the acquisition space, mm-hmm. right? So there's different spaces of entrepreneurship. Like there's the accumulation phase,
yep.
then there's the preservation stage, and then you go back to a potentially a liquidation stage or a transfer, if you will. And so I think what we're seeing on the internet is the beginning parts of everybody in an accumulation stage,
yeah.
right? excited and yeah. talking about it, right?
Yeah.
I think for me right now, I'm coming out of the accumulation stage
mm-hmm.
and being made aware of how to preserve what it is that we've just built mm-hmm. over the last 12, 15 years.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And so I'm having different types of conversations now, mm-hmm. right? I'm having more of an insurance conversation, right? Mm-hmm. I'm having more of a mitigation of risk conversation. I'm mm-hmm. having more conversations about capital stacks,
mm-hmm.
you know, not just having to go get a $50,000 line of credit or whatever the conversation is, but an actual capital stack.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just in a different space. But to answer your question, I think that the cash flow, the real estate cash flow is critical
mm-hmm.
because if you do spend 12 years, which might be egregious, of accumulation on real estate, and you got to pay the taxes on that. You know what I mean? You got to pay the premiums on that. So we have to identify some type of asset that's going to be cash flowing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think for me, storage units is like that people don't talk back.
Yep.
You know, it ain't like, oh, I got mold, or I didn't make my payments, COVID.
Right.
COVID ended 4 years ago. What's up with the rent?
Right.
I don't have time for that. You know yeah. what I mean? So to develop a 1,000-unit or 2,000-unit storage facility to me is more attractive than building multifamilies all over the place. Mm-hmm. And then I got to get with the VASH department and go to VA, try to get the veterans to join the program. Right. They don't like the location. It's too far from their job. Right. You know, all of this kind of stuff. Right. I just don't have time for that no more, man. So I would rather, you know, I think that if we're going to be in this game for a long time, we just need cash flow.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be sexy. It doesn't need to be all that extra stuff. Just this thing is, it costs $10 million to build. We got six of them. You know, it puts this out every year. We can use that money to go buy more tax liens, right? Mm-hmm. We don't gotta go to the bank no more.
Right, right, right. And so for the person just listening, we gonna just say black man.
Yeah,
right?
So that's
we're gonna say black man, right? So to the black man who is listening to you right now, they hear you, they appreciate you, they feel you, mm-hmm. right? Cause that's the one that's what I'm enjoying. Cause I was gonna go a whole different direction with this, but like this, my spirit is pulling me here.
That's what happens.
Yeah, my spirit is pulling me here. To the black man that hears you and feels you, but doesn't know where to start. What's their first step?
That's a good one, man. So first off, we gotta read. We not reading enough.
Yeah,
I made a joke about that on Generation One. I was like, "Yo, Negroes don't read," and we was in New York City on the radio promoting the screening at the Schomburg, and my mom's called up. She was like, "I appreciate you telling us that we don't read. You need to change that statement. That's an indictment."
Right,
right. I was like, "Yo, Ma, chill. No, no, you can't talk like that. That's crazy talk. Negroes don't read enough."
I was like, "All right, Mama, I promise. Next time we doing the little book signings, doing the essay, the film festival, yeah."
Yeah,
you know, Negroes don't read, but she's right. We're not reading. Number one, I don't feel like we're reading enough.
Yeah.
She said, change the statement to enough.
Yeah.
And then we're not reading. We're not intentional on what we're reading.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like all these biographies of all these great people. Like, why are we not reading Alonzo Herndon's biography? We go to these schools and we told to read Carnegie,
mm-hmm.
Mellon,
yep.
Rockefeller.
Yep.
Vanderbilt.
All the capitalists.
But we not taught to read A.G. Gaston.
Yeah.
Yo, they call this dude at 3 a.m, right? When King got arrested and they was in Alabama, they called this dude at 3 a.m. At that time, now when you need a bail bond, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's $1 million, somebody's just putting up $100,000, right? 10% of whatever the bond is.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, because of Jim Crow and racism and white supremacy, I don't think it was Jim Crow, but is this at that time, the rule was you had to bring cash in.
Mm.
You know how much the bond was? $4 million. $4
million. Wow.
So A.G. Gaston got a call at 3 o'clock in the morning, and this gentleman had $4 million
wow, in cash,
on hand in cash.
Ready to go. Wow.
And brought it to them white folks. Like, yo, get everybody up out of here. In fact, when they did the whole spill on Harlem Nights and they showed Sugar Ray, what was his name? Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
Played that role.
Yeah.
That was what they was talking about. Mm. They just put it in there with hustlers.
Right.
But what they was, that was a real situation that happened. Wow. Where dude went in there, was like, what's the bond? $1 million. Boom. Threw it at him.
Yeah, yeah.
Get everybody out. Yeah. And then it shook everybody's hair. Yeah, have a good night. Yeah, yeah. Sorry for your inconvenience. Why we not learning about A.G. Gaston?
Right.
Don't nobody know who he is? Right. Don't nobody know who Alonzo Herndon is? The first black recorded millionaire in Georgia history? Mm. Don't nobody know that this dude started from a barbershop cutting hair?
Wow.
And then took that money and invested in real estate and then got into insurance. Mm. Like, people are not, we not learning about this.
Right, right, right.
We don't know nothing about David Stewart. We don't know nothing about, we just now, because of InvestFest, can say, oh yeah, Robert F. Smith. But we don't understand how Robert F. Smith got to the bag.
Right.
They just say, oh, he's some great investor, hedge fund investor. Mm-hmm. No, his story is incredible.
Yeah.
But we're not reading these autobiographies of our own people.
Yeah.
So we don't know.
You worked hard to lay the foundation for your contracting business. And when you're with Amex Business Platinum, you can keep building it up with a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. And since you earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, you get even more from on-site overseeing. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits apply to for 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
We can't have these conversations.
Yeah.
And they're critical, man.
Yeah.
So I'm just of the notion that all of the black millionaires that made it back in the day when we didn't have internet, we didn't have the ability to communicate and all this stuff, and they became super successful.
Yeah.
That's who we need. Mm. That's who the black men that are watching that say, yo, what's next? That's the first step.
Yeah.
Because if we have that knowledge, that's going to empower us to be like, yo, I don't have to, like somebody said the other day, they was like, yo, you act like you own everything.
Mm.
And in my mind, I do. Like, I don't want to be somewhere where I'm sitting in something that I don't own.
Yeah.
Why would I subject myself to that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we were somewhere where the people called the cops on us, man. We was way up there in North Georgia, and I had bought this tax lien on the lake. And I had to go out there to go and deal with a surveyor or whatever. And we pull up, of course, you know, they call the police, you know? So I'm outside and it's Forsyth County Sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
And he got out the car talking crazy.
Yeah.
You boys got some business here?
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah, actually, your sheriff, your boss, I believe, your lieutenant, your sheriff, Mike Skiba, has my check.
Mm.
He actually has my deed.
Mm.
You know, matter of fact, why don't y'all get this gentleman the deed?
Mm.
I'm asking the questions here. I was like, no, you're not asking the questions because you're on my land.
Right, right.
Right, and your boss, right,
right,
received a check for this amount,
right,
and we have a title.
Mm.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting to is we have more rights as landowners.
Mm-hmm.
Black men, we have more rights as landowners than we do as humans.
Mm. Wow.
I don't even have to be at that area right now in Forsyth. I can call right now. I'm running the same game. somebody's on my land. In the 2 minutes, Forsyth County is going to be there calling me like, yo, is everything all
right? Mm, right.
But if my black behind goes up there and right. I call, they take me to jail.
Right.
The land has more equity, has more rights than us as humans. Wow. Why wouldn't you want to own more land?
Yeah. Yeah.
So when we get into these wealth conversations, I mean, it's all cool. Everybody's getting to the bag. They want to get to the bag quick. But I'm not with that, yo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my path to just get to this point has been laborious and long.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that if you ain't, like, earned it, that, you know, there's other paths.
Right.
But in earning it and taking this time to have this expounded palette,
mm-hmm.
I'm seeing what's really going on.
Yeah.
And what really works.
Yeah.
And all this quick hit strategy stuff is not lasting.
Yeah.
Like, you started the interview off talking about something that happened in 2012, dog.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And I just dropped something on the Netflix platform.
Right, right.
It's one there right now.
Right, right.
So, like, in order to get to be that consistent and do something that long,
yeah,
something got to be stable.
Yeah.
And then the real estate is stable.
Mm. And so, speaking of which, you're into commercial real estate now, hotels. How'd you get into it? And tell us about those
tax liens. I mean, simple as that. Yeah, because you buy in. Listen, we've been since 2012 when we started the Empowerment Radio Network. I did two things in 2012. I started Empowerment Radio Network, and I kept my real estate business. I created the Real Estate Group Partners.
Yeah,
I did both of those things in 2012.
Yeah.
All right. The network ran to like 2020.
Mm-hmm.
But the real estate business is still moving, right?
And was the radio business lucrative?
No.
Okay.
No. But the radio business created the leads for the real estate business.
Gotcha. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
So indirectly.
Indirectly, yeah, yeah. It's still successful because, right. I mean, the Black Information Network, which is the part of the IRA, they took a lift from the Empowerment Radio Network.
Wow.
And they straight put the whole thing together. So I'm not, I mean, we helped jumpstart. We helped to, I mean, Roland Martin is doing his thing now of us.
Yeah.
Michael Imhotep is doing his thing because of us. Like, I don't, that was a great experience. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
If I were to do it again, I would do it differently. I won't say how, but I say all this to say that tax liens allow me to get into residential space.
Mm.
Excuse me. Allowed me to get into the commercial space.
Mm.
We have some industrial stuff.
Mm.
So basically, we just looked at the inventory of what we had acquired that we have site control to. And then
when you say that, what does that mean? Site control?
Site control means you got a deed.
Gotcha.
Right?
Okay.
It ain't no bunch of partners. It ain't your grandmother left you something that you got to probate.
Right.
This is, you got it. It's on the record. And your name, your entity, whatever you got control over is there.
Got it.
That's site control.
Got it. Okay.
And so what a lot of people don't understand is when you have site control, you can do deals.
Mm.
And I'm going to explain one right now that's happening right now.
Yeah.
So we bought these tax liens, and some of them just happen to be commercial properties. Mm-hmm. So what happens next is you have to determine what highest and best use is, right? So we use the land in Augusta as an example, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we bought this land lot, zone commercial, off the freeway, exit 199. Across the street is the Augusta National, okay? This is where these people fly in to Daniel Field. They said there was 5,000 jets that came in to Daniel Field to attend the Masters, okay?
Yeah.
We are across the street from there.
Okay.
Our neighbor is the Hilton by Hampton Inn. And our other neighbor is the Wyndham. Mm. Okay. And in front of us is the Super 8 Hotel. So we right in the middle of this off on I-20.
Nice.
Okay. So because I have site control, I've been going to this conference called the NABHOOD Conference, National Association of Black Hotel Owners and Developers.
Mm.
I've been going to this conference for the past 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
I was able to meet some people there.
Mm-hmm.
And so Choice Hotels has a program for minority hotel developers. And it's a real program with real incentives. And they were there and they was like, yo, if y'all are interested, shoot an email here.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I shot an email with the deed attached saying, and I did a feasibility study, very important point, feasibility study. Helps you to determine what highest and best use is.
Okay.
So my feasibility study saying this is a great location for a hotel.
Here's, I'm loading up my deed. Here's my feasibility study. What are your thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
They respond back with a term sheet.
Mm.
They're going to pay $7,000 per key. This is the incentives. And we're talking about 155 key hotel. So this is like a $2 million incentive that they're going to give to me.
Wow.
To develop.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
And they gave me something called a flag.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the flag is, it's like have being able to say this is what goes on the top of the hotel. We, in this instance, we're going to rock the choice flag. Okay? So the question is, why tax liens? Because tax liens give me site control.
Mm. All right.
With site control, I was able to contact the brand who already said they may have a deep commitment for African-American hotel ownership.
Mm.
And here we got site control and we send this message over and they respond with incentives.
Mm. Got it. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now I got something cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So now I got to talk to them. They tell me here's their preferred general contractor, right? General contractor talking crazy, talking $180,000 a key, which puts me now times 155 keys. Like I gotta raise $40 million. Okay. Now I know that number's crazy, right? The high rate in Atlanta right now is $275 a square foot, and a hotel is only like 200-300 square feet. So I know that number's crazy. But that's the number that they gave me to include the restaurant, the pool, everything. Okay. So now I got the tax lien. I shoot over the deed. They respond back with a term sheet, a flag, and incentives.
Mm.
So now I got a deed, a feasibility study, a term sheet, flag, and incentives. Now I can have different conversations, right? Now we're talking all this blackety black stuff, right? We met where? With Latron.
Yep.
At the Israeli consulate,
yeah,
right? But what's adjacent to Egypt? Mm-hmm. Israel,
yeah.
So it's safe to say that Israel is connected to the African tectonic plate,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
So now I respond back to the Israeli consulate like, yo, I got this opportunity to develop this hotel in Augusta. I need to get in front of your foreign nationals, right? Israelis that are interested in not just doing business here, but having a green card here, okay? So I need to get with you, Israeli consulate, so that we can have an EB-5 interest meeting about this opportunity.
Yeah. Next level. Yeah.
Because Trump's getting in office, right? And what happens when Trump gets in office? First order of business is the H-1B and the H-2 visas is getting cut. Right? Because he already said they don't want the Mexicans running across the borders. They got to secure the borders. Mm-hmm. So now, what happens to the foreign nationals that don't want to get caught up in that?
Right.
They got to look for another path.
Another path.
What's that path?
Yeah.
EB-5.
And so what is that? Talk EB-5 because...
So remember...
I get where you're going with it, too.
That's what I'm getting into. Everybody's on the internet.
Right.
And they're expert.
Right.
Right? They raising money to buy hotels using credit.
Right. Right.
Like you don't have them conversations at this level. This is $40 million, dog. Yeah. You're not having that capital stack conversation with a credit.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
Yeah.
So I'm saying all this to say my capital stack includes African nations. It includes meetings with the higher ups now at Israel because we was just with the consulate when we reconnected. We didn't meet there. We reconnected.
Yes.
I'm meeting with the consulate for Morocco, Mauritania, Sierra Leone, Gambia, Ghana, Togo, Guinea-Bissau, Guinea. Mm. We going down the whole west coast of Africa, Togo, Benin,
right.
You know, Nigeria, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we having these meetings, right? And the meetings are, hey, this dude is going to lock down everything.
Mm-hmm.
But this EB-5 visa allows for foreign nationals to come in without no red tape, right? So they put in $1 million in a USCIS approved project, okay? Which I now have because I got a flag and I got site control.
Right.
And this foreign national puts up this $1 million, right? And they get a green card.
Mm.
we got to create 10 jobs as a United States business owner, and we pay them back 4% on the million.
Okay. Okay.
So now we running into the market looking for 40 or really 100 different Africans that are interested in investing in the U.S. business, preferably in the lodging sector, right, with a known flag.
Right, right, right. In order to get access to, yeah, yeah, yeah.
These are the kinds.
That's definitely high level thinking for sure. Yeah,
it's not thinking. It's called high finance, right? Mm. And so this is high finance is the conversation. Like, if we're gonna be on this, this is a sure SM7, dog. Mm-hmm. This is one of the best microphones that they can create for audio broadcast. We can't be on this thing talking crazy.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, ain't nobody like when we're talking about asset classes, we got to talk about these hotels. We got to talk about storage facilities.
Yeah.
We got to talk about things that make sense. When they ran the Star Report says, this is what the other hotels is doing in the market.
Mm-hmm.
From January to the end of the year, January, February, March, 1.5 million, 1.7 million, 1.8 million. April, 5 million.
Mm.
That's when the Masters is.
Yeah. Mm.
May, 1.5 million. June, 1.5 million. July, 2 million. What's that about? Graduation. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then the next month, August, September, 2 million. October, another August, September, 1 million, 1.5 million. And then October, 2 million. Yeah. What's that about? Oh, there's something that goes on in the market with the cybersecurity people on the base. Brings a lot of people in. So when you add all that up, this thing does $22 million wow. per the Star Report.
Wow, wow.
A year.
Right, a year. And the initial investment is just $40 million. So you're profitable after 2 years.
The contract for Choice Hotels is a 20-year contract.
Jeez. So 18 of those years is purely profit.
Wow. Even if it costs you $10 million a year to run the
right,
hotel.
Right, exactly. It's still purely profit.
It's $10 million a year.
Right, right.
So we got to start moving in this way, yo. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But if we're not at the tax sale and we're not buying land, then we don't have these opportunities.
Yeah. And so you said a couple of things, right? You talked about capital stacks.
Capital stacks, yo. That's where it's at.
Right. Like, explain that to my audience. What is alternative, because you're trying to use alternative capital stacks to raise money for this hotel. Explain that for me.
Yeah, so I'm in a cap stack right now. That's what you're getting right now.
Right.
This is where my head is at, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't explain the second opportunity. I'm gonna pause on the second opportunity, mm-hmm. but there's two hotel opportunities.
Okay.
All right? I'm not gonna talk about the second one. So this is increasing my capital stack to 100.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is probably the biggest capital stack of my entrepreneurial career.
Okay.
And
prior to this, how much was the
company? I mean, I'm good to raise between 10 and 20.
Okay.
Since because of the because of the real estate group partners.
Yep.
And going to the courthouse.
Yep.
So, you know, since 2015 current, I probably raised about 10,
yep.
15, 20 at the best.
Yep.
So I'm outside my space right now.
Mm-hmm.
I got a phone a friend.
But you're still confident though, which I love.
I'm David Anderson.
Yeah,
what
yeah,
you talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, I got a flag, dog.
Right.
Come on. Right. Like, how are we gonna figure this out? Right. Like, the people at Choice was like, oh, how are you gonna do your cap stack? I was like, yo, we're gonna figure this out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So as it relates to cap stacks,
mm-hmm.
we're all talking about going to get a loan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm gonna call Truist. Truist gonna give me 40
right.
million.
Right.
Nah, it's not happening.
That's not doing it.
Nah, that's not happening. We're not making that phone call. And plus, you know, and then so in the cap, the other parts of that, so it's called debt financing, which is something that we might have to consider, but let's just put it up there. That's in the capital stack. What goes in the capital stack? Debt finance.
Okay.
Then there's something called equity financing.
Okay.
That's me.
And so just for my understanding, so capital stack is
you stack them together.
You're stacking all of the different
different areas.
Yeah. So
EB-5.
All of funding, all the ways to fund it.
Yeah.
You're stacking all of that.
Stack
all capital that. Stack.
You're, right.
You're, all right. So EB-5.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
So in my instance, right?
Yeah.
And then we're talking alternative capital stack,
right?
So because I'm not. My first line of defense is not to have to pay back a mortgage, right? That's just my whole thing. So I'm like, we're not doing that. We're going to do it different.
Yep.
So I'm replacing the debt financing
mm-hmm.
with the EB-5.
Okay.
Which is still a form of debt financing,
mm-hmm.
but it's capped at 4%.
Gotcha.
And I don't got to give up no equity
yep.
to the foreign nationals.
Yep.
I'm still have control over the capital stack,
yeah.
which is important to me.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So part two, the next level of capital stack, because I'm not sure if I can use 100%. There's a suggestion that you can't use 100% of your funds that from EB-5 money.
Okay.
We are not clear on that just yet because of the project is still
yep.
formulating.
And the reason why you can't use 100%?
This is an EB-5 rule, but Norm Jenkins and in D.C., Norm built the Marriott Marquis.
Mm-hmm.
When we go to CBC, Congressional Black Caucus every year, the main hotel that is the host hotel is the Marriott Marquis in D.C. And Norm Jenkins, a black man,
yep.
owns that facility. And he was able to do, like, the philosophy that I'm using for my capital stack came straight from Norm Jenkins.
Mm, gotcha.
He put 100 foreign nationals in the room yep. at that location,
yep.
raised $100 million, nice. And built that hotel. That's how he did it. This is where I got the knowledge or information to do it.
Yep.
Norm Jenkins, yep. The strategy. So Norm was able to use 100% EB-5. However, there might be some things that we got to change or yep. alter with the capital stack. So let's say he used 90% because they require him to have a capital injection.
Yeah.
So let's at least give him 90%. Or let's just give him 80% for the purpose of this, because I don't want to get an email.
Yeah,
David, it was 80%, whatever.
Right.
But either way, 80 to 90% of his capital stack was EB-5.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And choices given incentives.
Right.
So that's a couple of percentage for that, right? I'm sure Marriott gave him way more incentives than Choice has given me. They probably mm-hmm. gave him $15,000 a key rather than $7,000 a key. So, you know, that's another issue or another part to the capital stack. Now we got these credits, okay? So credits now can be sold. And so what I'm talking about is renewable credits. So in my situation, there's something called a solar tax equity credit.
Okay.
All right. And what happens with this is on our renderings, the whole roof line is a solar pergola.
Yeah.
And we're harnessing that energy and storing it on site so that the hotel has a sustainability component so that we're not having to be dependent on the grid.
Right.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
So in building that part of the hotel,
mm-hmm.
we can sell off the credits that the entrepreneur who needs it gets. So for instance, high net worth individuals, they call them accredited investors. Mm-hmm. They might have an offset and a tax liability, and they need to get rid of that right now. So they would, whatever their tax liability is, instead of paying it to the Fed, they pay it to this project.
Yep.
And they get the tax benefit using Section 179 of the U.S. Tax Code, which allows them to, their CPAs to reduce their AGI. Okay, so that's another whole space
yep.
to raise capital
yep.
because the real estate developer is onboarding funds
yep.
to develop that part of the project,
mm-hmm.
which reduces the cost,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then the partner gets the benefit, the tax benefit,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
So solar tax equity credits are huge.
Yeah.
Right? So that's a part of your capital stack.
Yeah, gotcha.
Just like EB-5.
Gotcha.
You know, you put 20 people in a room, they put up $1 million. What do they get? They don't get equity. They get a visa.
Right.
Because they want their kid to go to Harvard.
Right.
But we're not having to have no equity conversations.
Mm-mm.
So EB-5 is something to consider.
Yeah.
The tax credits are something to consider. The self-directed IRA community.
Right.
Is something to consider.
This is huge because I think at one point, when I thought about real estate, the tax advantages and things of that nature, you know, doing self-directed IRA and even maybe using that money to invest in real estate, good idea, bad idea?
That's how we built our business.
Yeah.
We've never taken a loan
mm.
from any institution. It's always been the IRA community.
Yeah.
The IRA community has supported the business. And so, you know, and that ask is, you know, people have money in their retirement accounts.
Mm-hmm.
It's at Vanguard, it's at yep. Fidelity.
Sitting there.
It's just sitting there.
Yeah.
It ain't even being invested. It's not even on market.
Right.
It's just there.
You're just there.
Yeah. Right? And you know, and especially for black folks, we go to one job, might leave,
right.
might have been 10, 15 years there.
Right.
And when we leave, we're not talking about, oh, let me bring that with us. Right. Some people might, but right. most people be like, oh, I don't know. I don't even know how to move it.
Right, exactly.
I was told if I move it, I got to pay penalties.
And so now a company you no longer work for has
60 G's, 100 G's, 200 G's of your money,
and they're using it.
And well,
they're managing it.
Like, yes, they're making interest off of it, and they're charging you a fee. Yeah,
right.
So we have to become. When we talked earlier about what do we need?
Yeah,
we got to. This is where the IRA hat. So we put our real estate hat down and put the IRA hat on, because now as an IRA professional, I could say, hey, let me see that statement. And determine what type of IRA this is. Is it traditional? Is it Roth? Okay. Is it a Keo account?
Yeah.
Like, what is this?
Yeah.
And let's make contact with the beneficiary company and roll those funds over to another like kind asset. Okay. If you're not an IRA professional, you ain't sat for the CISP exam administered by the American Bankers Association. You ain't gonna know all of that.
Right. Right.
Right. Okay. So what's a self-directed IRA? And how is it that I can instruct Edward Jones?
Right.
To roll over to this, you know, this vehicle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And furthermore, how can I use this vehicle to the IRS says, the IRC code says that you can use retirement funds to invest in business or real estate.
Mm.
That's in the IRS code.
That's the code, yeah.
Right? So now.
Still get the tax benefits. Yeah.
As long as it stays
in
the IRA.
Account.
In a qualified account. You got it. You know the terminology.
Yeah, yeah.
So now I can, now this is a powerful tool. We're not talking about capital stacks right now. Mm-hmm. Let's pause on that for a minute.
Yeah.
Just using that, I can go and buy a tax lien for $6,000-$10,000. It'd be worth $250. I buy it through the self-directed IRA, and then I put it on market, and all of the capital gains, if I sell it for $200,000 after I pay my fees,
correct,
it go back into the IRA tax-free.
Yeah.
Like if nothing else, why are we not running that play?
Facts.
We've been disenfranchised. Yeah. These people ain't give us nothing. We had an act of Congress that they reneged on four times.
Yeah.
And we can't use these tax liens to go and re-advantage ourselves. We're about to get marginalized, yo. We got about to get pushed out the way.
Yeah. And honestly, though, and so what's your thoughts, though? Because I really think a lot of that is because we don't feel it with the urgency. Like, I could feel your urgency.
Yo, Claude Anderson said that our net worth, according to the Pew study, is negative $9,500, yo.
Oh, yeah.
That's what the Pew research, did Pew interview you?
Right.
Did they interview you?
They
didn't interview me. Yo, my man, did the Pew Research Institute interview you about your net worth? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they put in this narrative out in the universe that black people's net worth is negative $9,500, yo. Stop with the madness.
Right.
Stop it. Like, so if this is what these people are trying to impress upon us and our kids,
that
we can't have nothing, we can't own nothing, we're not good enough to have what we need to survive, what God has told us is innate for us, we got a problem, yo. Right. That means everything that y'all coming at me with, it's a problem.
Got it.
It's jihad.
Yeah.
Right? So we got to enable ourselves, we got to advantage ourselves, you know, within the law, right?
Yep.
On how we can change that.
Yeah.
And that's what this whole exercise is about. This is what the YouTube is about. This is what these platforms is about. It's how can black people advantage themselves to be able to take advantage of these opportunities that are in front of them right now.
Yeah.
Never would we have thought of, I didn't go get into this business to become some type of hotel owner.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I never thought that I'd be kicking it with Donahue Peoples. I'm getting him on the phone. He's giving me advice on how to put my capital stack together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in communication with this dude on this deal. Yeah. Norm Jenkins is advising me through this deal.
Yeah.
My Michael Roberts is advising me. He just sold his hotel in Detroit. Like, no, I never would have imagined if you would have asked me when we did Generation One and put that out, where did you see yourself in 10, 15 years from now?
Right.
No.
Yeah.
That I would be in it, not even entertaining and putting a capital stack together for not one, but two spots that we have site control over?
Right.
No, man, no way.
Right.
So it all boils back down to having the information and how to use it.
Yeah.
We in the age of Aquarius right now, it's a lot of information, a lot of people talking crazy.
Yeah.
But there's not enough professionals that understand how to synthesize the information.
Yeah.
That's coming back to the audience saying, yo, this how you handle this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I get these phone calls when Generation One hit.
Mm-hmm.
I started getting a lot of phone calls from people talking about my mama died. You know, they left me $1 million. And it's a lot of times it's women and they don't tell their husbands what's up. They might have went to the meeting by themselves.
Right.
And then they get hit with the
with the number, and they don't say a word.
Yeah.
You know, and then they'll catch me at a screening or a book signing or a talk, and it's like, yo, I need to talk to you. And then we start talking, and it's like, we need advice on what to do.
Yeah. No, it's funny you say that, though, too, because I was watching CNBC just the other day, and they talked about the massive wealth transfer that's about to take place. I think it's $142 trillion.
It's crazy, the baby boomers.
Yeah, baby boomers. 50% of that is going to women. To women, yeah.
Black woman is now the financial head.
Yes.
Of our community.
Yes. Yeah.
And this is no indictment on the sisters. I mean, come on, dog. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I love what black women do for us.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like that whole Umar Johnson thing, those snow bunnies. Like I'm for that.
Right.
But what I'm not for is that I'm not for black women because of these dynamics in our community being in that position.
Yeah.
I'm not for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not for that. When I hear that there's 8 million people, brothers in Angola, I'm talking about the Louisiana penitentiary system, and it's in Angola prison is 27 miles long. New York City is 27 miles long. So you telling me there's a whole prison the size of 158 all the way down to Wall Street, 27 miles full of brothers?
Yeah. By design.
Come on, dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I understand why.
Yeah, yeah, by design, yeah.
But at the end of the day, the little brothers that are on the outside that can do something need to be more aggressive with what they're doing.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Because they got to take care of these sisters. These sisters is having they contemplating marrying outside their race.
Right.
I'm outside.
And they're pushing that too.
Yo, me and my wife outside, we having dinner, and it's interracial couples. I'm not saying there's something wrong with that, but you know, sister's credit is jacked up. Come on, man. You know, if you wanted to go to the Wagyu house, like, you didn't have to get the white man to take you. That's what's happening.
Right.
But brother's stuff is not in order.
Right.
Right. And so, because we're not working with these cats, like you was mentioning that you wrote early on, it wasn't the Source magazine. I can't remember which magazine.
Oh, Don Diva magazine.
Yeah. Don Diva, he was here.
Yeah.
You did an article. You did a column for them, right? Mm-hmm. And then the brothers behind the wall, because of the sticky papers, they was handling their business with their hands.
Yes, yeah.
But they was reading about what you was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the need is there.
Absolutely.
You understand?
Yeah.
But then on the other end, other angle, there's a responsibility for the brothers to just not be like, yo, Dr. Anderson, do it for me, or Ash Cash, do it for me.
Yeah.
They got to read.
Absolutely.
Like my mom was saying, we not reading enough.
Enough, yeah.
So there's certain strategies that I've seen on my entrepreneurial career that I know work.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to have a Roth, self-directed Roth IRA before we get some Bitcoin.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like my kid just graduated from Harvard. You know what I'm saying? From the graduate school. He's at Princeton right now.
Dope.
No student loans.
Dope. Wow.
Tax liens.
Wow.
Every time the bill came up,
we put
a house on the market.
Wait. So explain that though, right? Not how he did it, but with somebody watching right now, because you.
David Jr. has an education.
Yeah.
And he had big dreams.
Yeah.
Right? So when we sit the kid down, he's like, yo, what's up? This dude is like, I want to do this. And he did it.
Yeah.
Right? So when he's like, yo, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go to this school, then I'm going to get this degree from Middle. He went to Middlebury College. This is his ring right here. Graduated 2020 during the pandemic. Then he was like, yo, I'm going to Harvard. Then after that, I'm going to Princeton. I was like, dang.
Right.
So I'm thinking how I'm a friend answer.
Yeah.
So I made a fund.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just a basic LLC.
Yeah.
Put his initials on it.
Mm-hmm.
Bought some tax liens.
Mm-hmm.
Went in the market, sold it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Middlebury got paid for.
Mm.
Now he has some, his part in all of this was that I had ran into Darius Quarles. Darius wrote a book called Million Dollar Scholar. This is for all of the moms and dads out there that are in this situation where they got kids, you know, in this situation. But Darius was from the south side of Chicago. He was single parent family, and he got accepted to go to Morehouse. His mom couldn't contribute. And this was before Robert F. Smith even thought about donating to the school.
Yeah.
Before the court case.
Yeah.
So Darius was like, yo, how do I get funding, right? What's my capital stack?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so he decided he was going to use scholarship money to do that. Mm. And he wrote, he got so many scholarships, he got over $1 million in scholarship money to go to Morehouse. Paid off 4 years up front, bought a car, bought a little condo, still had like $400,000 or $500,000 left over.
Wow.
Right? And he wrote a book called $1 Million Scholar. It's on Amazon, $20, change your life. Mm. So the first order of business with David Jr. was, yo, read this book.
Yeah.
$1 Million Scholar.
Yeah.
And I'll, and what, and I know you're gonna get some because you this dude is crazy smart. This dude speak like 3 languages. Mm. So I was like, you could use your language, your ability to teach and train and be a subject matter expert, speaking Japanese and Mandarin, and I think Amharic or whatever he's working on. You can make money trading your time for money as a subject matter expert. Right. So between your scholarships, your skill set, and your dad's, you know, real estate, you know, stuff, we're gonna figure this out. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did.
Wow.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So I say all that to say, brothers might be watching.
Yeah.
Their kid gets the letter that comes through.
Yeah.
And now it's, oh, Pell Grant.
Right.
But who's doing that?
But take me to the very beginning of, or just for my understanding, for tax liens, do like how much capital does somebody have to even get in it? Is it $100? Is it $10,000?
Depends on the market. So like in Georgia, the great state of Georgia is 159 counties.
Yep.
Right. So we could throw down in any county.
Yep.
In 2012, when we got started, when Lamar came in the office, I had bought a house that week for $10.
For ten.
$10, yeah, $10. No cap, man. I could say
like $10, like
a $10 bill. That's how this company started. So $10 investment. The address was on Broken Arrow Lane in Cherokee County. So I went to Cherokee County. It was
rented. And then what was the property worth?
I sold it for like $225,000. That's how the Empowerment Radio Network funded.
That's how all this got started. We'll on Regin.
Yeah, that's
so $10. You got a tax lien property for $10 that was worth $210,000.
Yeah, that's how the Empowerment Radio Network got started. Legit, I can't make it up. I mean, the story is out there. It's on the internet. I mean, you can look at it. But yeah, that's what happened. We got the money and we went down to Bahamas with Minister Farrakhan and Bev Smith, and I met with Peter Nygaard and got the other part of the money. So I had 250 or two something, and he gave me like 250 in equipment. We got started.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how that happened.
Wow.
So tax liens, man. That's what I'm saying. But the key is, here's the key.
Yeah.
So it goes back to this thing called arbitrage. My father taught me about something called arbitrage, but I didn't really listen to him.
Yeah.
I was like, well, yeah, whatever, blah, 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 blah. But he was like, you got to practice arbitrage, right? And so what Robert F. Smith is doing at Vista Equity Partners is that he's practicing arbitrage. He's just practicing arbitrage with corporations that happen to be in a technology space, right? But that's, arbitrage means you buy it for the low and you're selling it for the high. Yeah. Everybody in the street know what that's
about. Yeah.
So when we practice this at the Real Estate Group Partners, where tax liens is our mode of arbitrage. Because we're not going on the market through the front door trying to deal with what's already online. If this already on market is not a deal.
Right.
Why are you looking on the same marketplace everybody else
looking? Heard you.
That don't make no sense.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's not arbitrage.
Yeah.
So the Robert F. Smith says on YouTube, and it's a crazy interview.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interview between him and the Columbia School of Business, the master's department, where he gives a lecture to these students and he talks about the intricacies of his business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like at the 14 or the 11 or the 14, he starts getting into what this arbitrage is and how to practice it. Robert F. Smith says, in order to build wealth, you gotta find the arbitrage and exploit it consistently for 10 years and then don't tell nobody about it. So with the tax liens, you getting properties from people who don't pay their taxes.
Yep.
Properties from people that are in probate because Negroes don't have no wills. And if y'all got wills, they're not at the county in safekeeping. Mm. So we got to look around for it. And then your cousin gets it and they make changes to it. So now we got to argue and fight. Mm. So you got the probate, you got tax liens, you got probate, you got the PACER. We're talking about bankruptcy section D, people listing all their assets when they file a BK. Who does that?
Right.
So there's all these ways and spaces that you can go and find the arbitrage.
Right.
Right? They got algorithms. We done built software that tells us where the arbitrage is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like that's the game.
Mm. And so I want some tax liens.
I would too.
Like I'm so
all this money you making from the podcast.
Look,
you need to go buy some tax liens.
You said $10. I'm a
well, that was in 2012. No, like yeah, I don't want people to be like, oh, you bought a $10.
No. But even that though, like, because I was expecting $1,000, $10,000.
Well, let me preface this by saying, because each market is different.
It's different.
Like you're not taking no $10 to Atlanta right now.
All right.
And that wasn't in Atlanta. That was in a different. That was in Cherokee County.
Yeah. Right? For sure.
So and we got lucky on that day. It was raining.
Yeah.
You love when it rains.
And so what happens though, right? You go, like do I look online, right? Like right now, like right now, I'm about to take $10,000.
Okay,
right? And I said, look, yo, Dr. Anderson just blew my mind right now. He just told me I got a daughter that's 16.
Right.
That I you know. I don't want to spend my money.
No, you shouldn't. Right? You should not.
She goes to a pretty good school
right
now, and she actually wants to go to Dubai to study.
You gotta cut that check, homie.
Right. So in my head, I'm like, all right. So you told me about tax liens. In my head, I'm like, all right, bet. I'm about to take 10 grand, and I want to get a tax lien property.
Yeah. So what I would do in that instance, because my children currently. I had a similar situation. I have younger children.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go to a private school mm-hmm. as well. And that bill is crazy. It's like 46 a year for all three kids. So we set up a separate LLC for them
mm-hmm.
and went to Macon
mm-hmm.
and bought something in Macon. They were, the children are in and out of transaction, but this particular transaction, they spent $38,000 on.
Mm-hmm.
And the house, there was a comp on the street for $175,000.
Mm.
So they sitting on like 150 grand in
wow.
equity.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
And so I got to fix up the house, but I cleared the title. I got both sides of the title because it was a trailer home. So we had to get that was a whole nother issue. But we wound up getting the land and then I had to go run around and figure out the titles for the trailer. But everything's been made whole and I can say I just got to finish the rehab. So that's how I'm able to finance my kids' education. But I would, in your instance, because these kids are small, these are little kids. It's like 3, 6, and 9 or yeah. 10, 7, 4 now. So with you, I would sit your daughter down and square up with her. Be like, yo, I would definitely get her Darius Quarles book today.
Yeah, I'm doing that today.
I would do that today. And I would encourage everybody that's listening to this platform to go
on ASAP.
Yeah, that needs to be whoever the dude with the lower thirds over there mm-hmm. needs to put Darius Quarles on the bottom.
Yeah.
And maybe even have a book club that comes out of this particular episode
mm-hmm.
of other parents that that are in a similar situation. And you square up with the child and you put some onus on the child by making the child empower themselves by getting their own scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then you as a parent use the tax lien strategy to get the equity that covers the shortfall.
Mm-hmm.
But the kids should be able to go to whatever school they want to go to. These parents that get up here and be like, oh, my kid got into Notre Dame, but it's $70,000 a year. I ain't paying that.
Yeah.
But did your kid go to Notre Dame?
Not my kid, no.
No, I'm saying, I'm just saying the question is, you know, when they say that, I'm not going to pay that, but then you didn't let your kid make that opportunity. What could your kid have been
mm-hmm.
if they that got that opportunity? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I literally just bought the book.
Oh, that's what I'm saying,
and,
man.
And like literally, yeah, and I would get it on Sunday.
Yeah, that's how I would handle that one, man.
Yeah,
I would solve that problem. But
yeah.
Again, if we not on the platforms talking about how we did what we did,
mm-hmm.
then other people won't learn.
Right, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And so it's all about the strategy, but the arbitrage is what's up, man.
Yeah.
And if we can practice the arbitrage for a 10-year period and exploit it, then we can change some things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I love it. All right, so for those who, this was a, I didn't know it was gonna be this powerful.
So yeah, that's why I was like, yo, yeah. I'm gonna let homie go.
Yeah, we
was like time crush. I came in here, I was like, yo, I got something to say, man. So yeah. I already knew what it was.
For sure. Like yeah. I'm gonna need a part two because this was
of course, because that was the intention, right? Because I had questions that I didn't even get to ask.
Yeah.
But for those who they want to connect with you, where can they find
you? Yeah. So I'm on the social media. Obviously, I'm on the Instagram at The Entree Pro Negro. So that's TheEntrePro Negro. If you forget, just remember that the definition of entrepreneur per Merriam-Webster is someone who assumes the risk of a business or enterprise. So I was like, that's not me. Yeah. I'm not going to apply that definition to myself. So I took the entree from entrepreneur, pro product to bring forth fruit to produce, and then Negro, commit. People with burnt faces, right? So I put that together, and if you go to the dictionary, the Urban Dictionary, actually it says C. David Anderson says the entree pro Negro,
so
one who creates opportunity when one does not exist.
So
that's on the Urban Dictionary.
Nice.
Yeah, so you can go there on Instagram or the YouTube is best. There's some videos up there. We loading up new content. If you want to learn about my philosophies, my ideologies, my travels. I'm on my third passport right now. I'm trying to go to all 54 nations on the continent. So I'm excited about this EB-5 cap raise. And y'all could go to the YouTube and check it out. And then if you want to get in contact with me directly, should you have any questions about anything that was discussed here, my email address is dmasrllc@gmail.com. So that's dmasrllc@gmail. And if there's anybody that's interested, any foreign nationals that are interested in being a part of the capital stack for the Augusta National Hotel, just send me an email. If there's anybody that has an IRA or has a retirement account that wants to roll some funds over to be a part of the capital stack for the hotel, just let me know and we can figure it all out.
Let's go, y'all. Listen, y'all going to have to, I'm going to rewatch this because there was a lot of great information. Rewatch this. We are closing out the vault. Another powerful episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset. I didn't even get to talk about money mindset, none of that. But we gonna do that.
Yeah, we come back.
Look, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. Make sure you visit us InsideTheVaultShow.com. Follow us on all social media platforms at Inside the Vault. Me, I am Ash Cash. Make sure you visit me, IamAshCash.com. Follow me on all social media platforms at IamAshCash. We will see you next time, same place. In God's will. All right, y'all. Peace.
Peace.
When you're with Amex Business Platinum, you have the card that works just as hard as you do. You give 150% to your business, and so does your card. With 1.5 times membership rewards points on select purchases, you earn rewards that can take your business further. And with complimentary access to more than 1,400 lounges globally, including the Centurion Lounge, you can stay up to speed no matter where your business takes you. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.